Amen. If it wasn't of grace, it'd be of works, according to the book of Ephesians. But as we look at the book of Ephesians, you find that it's all of grace. You find that it's all of grace. And the book of Ephesians explains grace. It's what it explains when you look at what God has done for you. That's all grace is. The unmerited favor of God, of what God has done for you. You as a sinner, lost, on your way to hell. But He came to where you was. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad that He came to me. Amen. As I said this morning, I'm glad that He loves the world. I'm glad that He loves the church. But I'm glad that He loves me. Amen. And I'm glad that He saved Brother Kerry. Amen. He needed to get saved. My wife needed to get saved. My boy needed to get saved. But I'm more than that. I'm glad that He came to me because I needed to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God for salvation. Boy, where would you be without the Lord? Amen. Boy, I appreciate that singing. I do. I love that family. They're precious to me. But you know what I appreciate most about their singing? Is that they know who they're singing about. It don't come from here. It comes from here. That's what impresses me about singing. You can have the greatest voice in the world, but if all it does is come from right here, it don't come down here. It don't move me. It don't help me. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in the bucket. If you make a joyful noise to the Lord and it becomes real to you, it blesses my heart, blesses my soul. That's what singing's all about. If you have your Bibles now, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Hope and trust that this morning was a help to you. I come back tonight to try to be a help to you. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. The Lord being our helper, we'll read down to verse number 6. And the Bible says this in verse number 4, chapter number 1, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." Let me throw this in right here. You do realize, men, what's coming up, not this week, but next week. All right? All you husbands out there, you know what's coming up in about 10 days, 12 days? Anybody? Y'all know what that is? All right. Well, here's a Bible verse for that. Okay? "He gave unto Hannah because he loved her." So I'm encouraging you, okay, to remember what February the 14th is, all right? And whether you give her a card or whether you buy her a dozen roses or three dozen roses, you give her some kind of token of your love, all right? You let her know that you love her, okay? That's free. That ain't going to cost you nothing, all right? But here, let's go on reading. "But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, you give me to stand tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for what's already been done. Thank you, Lord, for the singing. Lord, I thank you, God, that it's real. And Lord, I'm glad that you came to me. And Lord, I'm glad that you opened up my blinded eyes one day. And Lord, you let me see grace. And Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, you give me to pastor this good people. I pray you'd help us tonight. Use us, Lord, I pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Are you a promoter or a provoker? The title of the message tonight is going to be, "Are you a promoter or a provoker?" The word "promote" means to forward, to advance, to contribute to the growth, the enlargement, or excellence of anything valuable. To exalt, to elevate, to praise, to prefer in rank for honor. Promotion is an act of love. Alright? Promotion is an act of love. Provoking is an act of hate. Think about that just for a moment. Promotion is an act of love. Provoking is an act of hate. Promotion is being selfless. It's being concerned more with others' needs and others' wishes than your own. The word provoking is selfish. It's concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. I got a question. Are you a promoter or a provoker? Which one are you? We see both here in this passage of Scripture. We see that Elkanah, that he was a promoter of Hannah, that he gave unto her a worthy portion, that he loved her, that he tried to exalt her above others. May I say unto you tonight that as a husband, that ought to be what you do to your wife, is that you ought to exalt her above others. You ought to exalt her above yourself. You got Bible for that? Yeah, thank you for asking. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. All right? How that you ought to love your wife, but how that we ought to love one another. You do realize tonight that Christ is a promoter of good works and the Bible is a promoter of good things and that we're taught by the Word of God to be a promoter and not a provoker. You say, let's look here today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter number 2, and let's read here and share what the Lord has for us. Philippians chapter number 2. It's after the book of Ephesians. If you have a Schofield Bible, page 1258. Look here in verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, our world could learn something from that today, couldn't they? Can we say an amen there? What about our church? Could our church learn something from that today? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. You know what that lowliness of mind means? It means what you think of yourself. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You do realize today that we live in a society and we have been mesmerized by the television and mesmerized by novels, by the enemy today, and we have been trained to look out for your own self. Is that not what even education teaches us today? Is that not what the population teaches us today? Is that you, doesn't matter how you get to the top, you just get to the top. And once you get there, you don't worry about all those in under you. You just worry about yourself. Is that not what we're taught today? But you do realize today that's the exact opposite of what the Word of God teaches us, that we're to be a promoter of others and not one that tears down. Notice this, what the Bible says. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. How many servants do we have today? So often in our lives, we get so caught up in trying to succeed that we forget about service. We forget about serving others. And the Bible plainly teaches us that we ought to be servants, that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. Do you really realize today that what the Bible is trying to teach us is that we ought to promote others, that we ought to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, but we ought to promote and exalt others better than ourselves. May I say to you today, that's the job of a pastor, that he may promote others. It's not to promote himself. Now there's a crowd running around today and they want to promote their ministry. Hey, I'm not into promoting my ministry or promoting me or myself. I'm to promote you and I'm to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my job. That's my job. My job is to edify, to lift you up, and to build you up. Yes, my job is to preach you the truth. My job is to preach you the truth. But my job is not to be a junkyard dog. I'm a pastor. And there's some preachers out there, they're as mean as junkyard dogs, and they find joy in it. But they ain't serving the same one that I'm serving. They're serving themselves. You see, the Bible teaches us that we ought to prefer our brother, that we ought to esteem others higher than ourselves, that we ought to edify one another. Let's look in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter number 14. Do you seek peace? Do you look for peace in your life? Are you a promoter, I guess is what I'm asking again. Look at this verse of Romans chapter 14, verse number 19. Let us therefore follow after thee things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. When's the last time you and I have edified anybody? Think about it just for a moment. The word edify means to lift up and to build up. You do realize that's what the Bible's teaching us, is that we're to edify one another. Do we edify each other? Husbands, do you edify your wife? Wife, do you edify your husband? Church, do you edify your pastor? Pastor, do you edify your congregation? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you edify one another? Are you building them up or are you tearing them down? You do realize that those people that don't see things just exactly like you do in the Word of God, if they're born again by the Spirit of God and they place their faith and their trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved just like you. And whether you agree with them or not, you're to edify them. I'm not talking about heretics and I'm not talking about false prophets, but I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. There's enough tearing down going around today. It don't take long to get on some pulpit, listen to somebody on live stream or listen to somebody on the radio, and they're tearing everybody else down. You want to know why you want to tear everybody else down? To make yourself look better. That's all it is. Make yourself look better. But notice here what the Bible says, that we're to edify one another. What about in your actions? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm going somewhere tonight. Y'all going to enjoy this part better than you do the rest of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says this in verse number 23, page 1221 in his Scofield Bible. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Paul says, I can do all things. He says, I'm not under the law anymore. He said, all things are lawful for me. He said, just because I can do them, they may not edify. And he said, if eating meat offends my brother, I'm not going to eat no meat. Well, I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to live it my way. I don't care what they say. I'm answering the Lord and nobody else. Is that not our attitude? It don't matter. But does it edify? Does it build up? Are we trying to promote one another? Or are we so selfish in our own ways that we end up provoking everybody? Stirring them up. God help us that we'd be a promoter and not a provoker. And if something that I do in my life that, yeah, God is, it's not against the Word of God and God's not convicted me and give me a personal preference about it. But if it offends you, God help me not to do it while I'm around you. You understand what I'm saying? If it don't build you up, if it tears you down, if me eating meat offends you, then God help me that I would have enough concern and compassion about you that I wouldn't eat meat in front of you. Are we a promoter or a provoker? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do. When's the last time you told Brother Ray that you appreciated him going on visitation? When's the last time you told Brother Jack that you appreciate how he stood for the Word of God all these years? When's the last time you told Miss Evelyn that you... Miss Evelyn, that's some great piano playing. I appreciate that you played the piano for 50 years, that you've been faithful. I appreciate that you played the organ for 50 years. When's the last time you said that to anybody? When do you build them up? Encouraged them. I need encouragement. I told the men in the prayer room, I said, men, I need you. I'm honest. I need these men in my life. I need men like you, Brother Carey, that it calls me and texts me and encourages me, that edifies me and that builds me up. Why? Because I've got an enemy that's provoking me all the time. I have an adversary, as I preached about this morning. But do we spend more time provoking people than we do promoting them? God help us. You see, turn your Bible back to the book of Romans. And I'll give you the chapter here. The Lord just showed, give me this. Chapter number 6. Reading verse number 12 says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look in verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And we're switching gears right here. What do you yield in your body to serve? Are you yielding yourself as a promoter or a provoker? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. Turn your Bibles there. We're going to change gears. Because I really feel this is where the Lord has settled me in this afternoon. And I'm preaching to help us, not to hurt us. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. Now you do realize that as Paul is writing this letter, he is writing to saved people. Are we in agreement there? He's not writing to a lost world. He's writing to a church. And that church is compromised of saved people. Okay? That's what it's made up of. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. Notice the people here that he's writing to is saved people. Okay? He is writing to saved people, not a lost person. He's writing to a church. He is writing to a congregation. And he's admonishing them and he's saying, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Notice the people that he's writing to. Notice the position that he's talking about and the provoker that he's warning us about. He's writing to the church and he's saying, don't you give any place in your life to the devil. Don't you let him have an ounce of you. Not even a thought. Neither give place. You see, when we use the word place, it can mean as small as you can make it or as big as you want to make it. Do you understand that? I mean, you can take a small spot right here on the piano and you say in that little bitty space. Or you could take the whole top here and you could say that place. Or you could take the whole building and say, this whole place. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, neither give place to the devil. You see, when we go back to the book of 1 Samuel, and we find there, and the Bible says, and that her adversary provoked her.
As we talked this morning about how that we have an adversary and that we have a provoker and how that so often in our lives we begin to look at that as a person, but in reality it's the enemy behind that person. That we have an adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he is provoking her. And how that oftentimes that people provoke us. But now we're going to flip the coin tonight and we're going to see how that we can be a provoker instead of a promoter. And you do realize that when you and I become a provoker and not a promoter, that you and I are giving place to the devil in our lives. And the Apostle Paul is admonishing us and warning us, don't do it. You say, well, I don't give place to the devil. I don't want us to do his music. I don't watch his shows. I walk right. I talk right. I spit wide. I do everything right. I don't give place to the devil. Really? Really? You see, sometimes when we give place to the devil, as we look this morning, we can see how that we can become an enemy and we can be a provoker too. People. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can be a provoker unto him. He did tell the children of Israel, he says, you've provoked me. He says, you've agitated me. He said, I'm ready to destroy you. I'm ready to wipe you out. But as I sit this afternoon in my study and I thought about, do I give place to the devil in my life? Number one, to be a provoker of you. And number two, a provoker of him. Are there things and areas in my life that maybe I ought to search out and seek, and maybe I don't realize that I've given the devil place and that I've yielded myself as an instrument to you? How about you tonight? We're going to take the Word of God and we're going to look at some places where the devil provoked people. The first place I want us to look is I want us to go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. See, you realize today that there is a lot of provoking going on in our society, and we're calling it bullying. I mean, think about it. A bully is all he is provoking somebody. We could say that Peninnah bullied Hannah. That's all a bully is. A bully is provoking someone. And we're going to look at this today and tonight, and we're going to see some different passages of Scripture, and we're going to see, and I'm going to preach fast, okay? I'm halfway done. But understand this, we're going to see tonight how that we can be a bully to other people, or even how that we can be a bully unto God. Now, let's look at the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 1. And I apologize, I was talking to you and not turning. I still can't get there. It'll be all right, I'll get there in a minute. Look at verse number 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You see what's happened here? David has given place to the devil in his life. The devil provoked David. Now, I'm going to tie all this in together in a minute, okay? But he provoked David to number Israel. And when David gave place to the devil, and the devil provoked David, then David became a provoker unto the Lord. David agitated the Lord. Why did David do that? Why did David count those people? You'll find throughout the Word of God that there was a count of Solomon that he counted his horses and his chariots. You'll find that Saul at times numbered. You'll find that kings throughout numbered. I've always thought that it was because David was numbering the people, just the numbering of it. No, that ain't the reason he done it. David, the problem with David numbering the people was is that David had reached a status in his reign as king is that he was top dog in the world. And David wanted to see just how many people he had under him. It's this word that's in our English language that we all have but we don't like to use and we sure don't want to be accused of it. It's called pride. And David's pride caused him to number the people and understand this, it was a provoking of the enemy that caused David to number the people just as it was a provoking of the enemy for Peninnah to continually to provoke Hannah this morning. But understand this, when the enemy provoked David to number the people, this was a pride issue and notice what happened. If you read that on down, I'm not going to read that whole passage of Scripture, but I trust that you trust what I'm telling you. 70,000 men died because one man got some pride in his heart. One man got pride. And 70,000 men died. That is two and a half times the population of White County. They died because one man said, I wonder how great I got. I'm asking you, are you a provoker or a promoter? How often in our lives do we find ourselves in the position, just like David, lifted up with pride and want to see just how big we really are, just how great we really are? And because David counted those people, 70,000 men died. David gave place to the devil in his life. Go back to Numbers, chapter number 12. David provoked the Lord God to bring judgment upon him because his counting. But notice in Numbers chapter number 12 what happened. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Oh, it's one thing for Moses to hear it. But when the Lord heard it, it changed the whole ball game. What was going on here? They begin to chide against Moses in the end. And listen, I'm preaching this but as textual as I can and as positional as I can and not personal. Are you listening to me? They chided against the man of God for the way he was leading. They spoke against him. Let me say this to you as a church, and let me say this to me. You better be careful what you say about the man of God. And I'm speaking this positionally and not personally. Okay? They chided with him for what he was doing. And what happened? Let's look at the children of Israel as the type of the church. And they were moving forward, were they not? They were on a journey to the promised land. But because two people spoke against the man of God, what happened? The movement stopped. God put the brakes on. Why? Because somebody provoked him. Somebody give place to the devil. And I mean, the children of Israel, we've seen what God has done. He brought them out of the land of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and He was bringing them there into the promised land.
And Moses and Aaron and Miriam spoke against him. And the Lord smote Miriam with leprosy and put her without the camp for 7 days. And that was bad enough. But the fact of the matter is, because of what she did, the whole camp had to suffer. God put the brakes on the whole process. He says, "All right, y'all stop." Boy, wouldn't you hate to know that you give place to the devil in your life and God stopped what He was doing at the house of God. God said, just because you give place to the devil and you provoke the Lord, see, Aaron and Miriam was provoked Him in their chiding. David provoked Him in his counting. And here's your verse to go with provoking of the Lord. You can go home and look at provoke, and most provoking Him there deals with somebody provoking against the Lord. Ahab made a grove, but Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel and to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You do realize today that we are in a dispensation of grace, but we do serve the same God that the Lord was taught, that was in that Bible in 1 Kings. You do realize that, don't you? We are under a day of grace, under a different, but He's still the same. Alright? Not only we see the counting, we see the chiding. How about Joshua chapter number 7? Y'all alright? I believe the Lord's warning us not to give place to the devil in our lives because there's judgment that comes. Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua. I can't get out of Judges. Let's look at these verses right here, verses 11 and 12. Here's the Lord, look in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Remember, they'd just conquered the walls of Jericho. They'd marched around it 12 times. The walls fell down flat. And I mean, man, well, God done a great miracle. But here we come to chapter number 7. They go up against the people of Ai or A, and they get whooped. Verse number 10, Joshua's on his face before God, begging God, asking Him what's happened. And God says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed My covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have been even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." What's going on here? They were coveting. They wanted what the world had. May I say to you today, the Bible says, love not the world. I'll never forget Brother Dwayne Moore was preaching at Wahoo, and Brother Moore was mild here, you know, the other night when he preached. But he's preaching on, he said, "I'm going to preach on love tonight." And he turned that Bible over there and he said, "Love not the world." And man, for an hour, he preached red-faced on loving not the world. We can't love the world. Bible says, if any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. But oh, how we want the world. We want everything the world has to offer. We want the blessings of God and the blessings of the world. Honey, you can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. May I say this to you today? You can't have the power of God in the church, act like the world, look like the world, dress like the world, have music like the world. It may be enticing and it may draw crowds, but you will not have the power of God upon that place. But oh, how we covet the world. Oh, how we want the things the world's got. And you see, you realize that when we begin to covet the things the world has, that we begin to provoke the Lord to anger. And we begin, we're not a promoter of edifying no more, but we become a provoker. And when we become a provoker, what happened here? Here, this young man, all he stole was a wedge of silver and or a wedge of gold and a Babylonian garment. And what happened? They brought his whole family out and his whole family died because one man. Well, wouldn't you know that God, hate to know that God took your family because you loved the world? Think about that just for a moment. That because you loved the world and you coveted the things of the world, that God took your family from you. Neither give place to the devil. Are you a promoter or a provoker? See, David provoked him in his county. Miriam and Moses, or Miriam and Aaron provoked him in his chiding. Achan provoked him in his coveting. Now let's look at this one, number 16, and we'll be done here in just a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter number 16. Page 188 in your Scofield Bible. Now Korah, the son of somebody, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men. And this is what I want you to see. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. Now understand, we talked about the chiding against Moses a while ago. And as I've studied this out, and this is my what I see in this, and I'm still preaching the Bible, I see compromise. Preacher, you're too hard. That's what they're telling them. They gathered together and they rose up against Moses and they said, Moses, you're too hard. You see all this congregation? They're holy before the Lord. Is that not what the Bible says? Is that not what Corey says? He says, they're holy people. They're holy before the Lord. You know, you're taking too much upon yourself and you're saying that, you know, you're the only one and it's only the way that you and God says. But notice what he says. He says, all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation? You know what he's trying to get them to do? He's trying to get them to compromise. He's trying to get them to compromise. He says, you're too hard. These are good people. You know, you better believe it. You're good people. Great people. You're God's people. But the fact of the matter is, they ain't none of us holy. The only holiness we got is what we got from the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, how today churches are saying, compromise, you're too hard, preacher, you're too hard. Let's don't worry about our dress standard. Let's don't worry about the standard of our members. Let's just let them all in. You're too hard. Back off. You know, there's other Bibles in that King James Bible. There's other music than that old music. Compromise. It's all right. We're all saved, ain't we? We can back off a little bit. What'd God do? Moses said, I tell you what, boys. He said, we'll get up in the morning. And he said, we'll go before the Lord and we'll see who the Lord says is holy and who ain't. You know what God said? God said, kill them all. Moses said, oh, wait a minute, Lord. He said, wait a minute. Don't kill them all, Lord. There's some guns in there. But what happened? We know the story. God said, you tell them to step out. And when they stepped out, what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed them. The Bible says, and they all went down into the pit. Never happened before. Why? Because they was wanting the man of God to compromise. Wanting him to compromise. He said, you know, you're too holy. And now I'm preaching this positional again and not personal. And you understand what I'm saying? I'd be careful. I'd be careful about compromising. Not only in the counting, not only in the chiding, not only in the coveting, not only in the compromising. And I'm going to be looking, this will be our last one, Acts chapter number 5. And as I'm turning my Bible to this, I've always wanted to have the power that the first church had. I've always wanted to have it. Brother Kerry is shaking his head. He's saying, yeah. And I'm in agreement with him. But Brother Jack, as I was studying today, I thought, you know, I really don't know that I want that much power. I don't know that I can handle it. Because let's look in Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these. But here, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that I'm ready for that kind of fire. For some liar to walk into the house of God and God kill him for lying. I mean, that's all they did. It's covering it up. Think about it. But the power of God was so real. The Holy Ghost was so prevalent that as he spoke and he heard the words and he was called out on his line, he gave up the ghost and died for covering his sin. And then Sapphira came in, and what happened to her? We know the story. Let's read it on in the Bible. What happened here? He says this, and it was about the space, verse number 7, of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. All because they was trying to cover their sin. What are you trying to cover up? What is it in your life that you're giving place to the devil that you hope nobody else knows about? Because what did the Bible say? He says, why has Satan filled thine heart? You see, if he hadn't given place to the devil in his heart, he'd have never lied to the Holy Ghost. He'd never tried to keep back part of the pride. And it wasn't wrong for him keeping it. What wrong was wrong was the action and the attitude and the way that he kept it. But the power of God was so real and so prevalent in that place that he tried to cover up his sin. And just because he tried to cover it up, he provoked the Holy Ghost. And God said, well, wouldn't you know you hate you had died, went to the early grave just for lying? I've got a question. Are you a promoter or a provoker? Are you promoting your brothers? Are you promoting the cause of Christ? Now, I didn't get in, and I preached a little bit about it this morning. I'm not going to finish it, but I because I don't have time tonight. But about how that we provoke one another. We talked about how that we provoke God, but how about how we provoke one another? Very easily. You better believe it.
But if I'm not edifying, then I'm provoking. And I become a stumbling block. And guess what? I will give an account for how I make you stumble. See, I want to sit here and say, well, they're just weak. It ought not bother them. That's what I say. But the fact of the matter is, according to that Bible, I'm going to give an account for how I make you stumble. And you're going to give an account for how weak you are. I got a question. Are you a provoker or a promoter? I really don't know how to give an invitation tonight. And I know it's not been shouting, preaching. But it's also every one of us need to take heart. Because you do realize, church, and I want you to understand this. You do realize that you can stop what God's trying to do in this place. One person. One person. And that's what scares me. You see, I've talked to preachers for years. I want Miss Tina to come to the piano. I've talked to preachers for years, and you know, you see churches that's got good pastors and good preachers, and it just seems like nothing. They just kind of stalemate. And until the last several years, I didn't understand. But the more I read my Bible and the more I pray and the more I study, I see how that one individual can hinder the work of God. Moses was God's man. He was leading the right way. But when Miriam and Aaron stepped out, what did God do? He put the brakes on. David was a man after God's own heart. But he got lifted up with pride. And what did God do? One man. 70,000 died. Boy, I'd hate to even know that I stood before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. And He said, Nathan, I had great plans for that church that you belong to. But I couldn't do it because you give place to the devil in your life. I had great plans for your family, but I couldn't do it because you give place to the devil in your life. Well, wouldn't that be sad? Are you a promoter or a provoker? We're standing all over the house. I don't know how to give an invitation. You don't have to sing, just play. If you want to sing, you sing. Well, whatever. This altar's open. Are you a promoter or a provoker? How about it tonight? Trying to cover some things up. You give them place to the devil in your life.